You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello and welcome to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern-day All Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and today with me for the first time is Ruth.
Hi!
So, just before we get into everything, just tell us, like, who's your favorite All Japan wrestler and how you got into the company?
Okay, so how I got into the company? Jake Lee. I think when I start watching a promotion, it's generally because of a person. And Jake was that person. So I think I started watching like late 2020, early 21. Unfortunately, that's also the reason why my watching of All Japan has been really patchy over some periods. One, obviously he left, but also the whole kind of total eclipse thing made some sense. So yeah, Jake was my favorite. It gets a little complicated more recently. Certainly my favorite, definitely like All Japan wrestler would be Musashi, which, yeah. But we're going to talk a little bit later because I have two guys who are my favorites, a tag team. They are probably my favorites. I have so many favorites, sorry. I would also say Ren. Love Ren. He would be my kind of heavyweight favorite.
I remember when he first joined All Japan, like as a signed wrestler, we were messaging back and forward saying like, Ren, it's okay to smile. Like we were on Ren watch because he would always like, you know, hide a smile. Like he could see it trying to come out. So it's good he's finally smiling and like, you know, joking around.
Oh, it's so lovely. Like at the time I was thinking like, the first time he smiled, we messaged each other. We're like, oh my God, he's smiling. And I wanted to create like a book of Ren's smiles because they went from like this tiny little like turn up, like slightly, I'm not sure if I'm smiling or just being slightly sly, and have turned into these like massive, like actual beaming smiles every now and again. And yeah, I think maybe one day I will do that because I think it'll bring a lot of joy just to be able to watch Ren smiles.
Just to see it grow from just like, you know, his lips in a straight line just to keep curving up and up.
Absolutely. And especially when it reached the point where I was like, I'm kind of full of myself smile.
Yeah.
That has been absolutely kind of the peak moment for him. And I hope he keeps that forever.
Yes. So unfortunately, we're going to have to leave Ren behind today because today is a bonus episode all about the upcoming junior tournament. We're going to go through participants, dates, and matchups. But before that, we did something kind of special. We picked a junior match each that we love very much dearly. And we're just going to talk about it a bit. Like everybody we mentioned is in the junior tournament. So like, you know, it fits. The match I'm going to talk about is Asuki Oyagi versus Rising Hayato from back in 2022, so 3 years ago. And just quickly, I got some backstory before jumping in. So I hated how the junior title was handled when they brought it back after the passing of Atsushi Yaruki. It had some lows and very few highs. So Susumu won the title when it was reintroduced. Then I went to Koji Iwamoto, who at that time was a junior A, so that was like pretty good. But from there, it went downhill. We had Shima, Izanagi, Super Crazy All People, and Tiger Mask. It just went from crap champion to crap champion. So Tiger Mask held the belt going into All Japan's 50th anniversary show at the Budokan. And this is just like, I just am so angry that he held the belt going into All Japan's biggest show. For me, I know this sounds so stupid saying it should be All Japan Wrestler, but I thought it should have been Hikaru Sato, who's basically an All Japan wrestler. Because who was challenging Tiger Mask but Asuki Oyagi? So it was going from like the old generation to the new generation. And like Asuki had to win this. There was like no other outcome that would be acceptable except for Asuki winning. He won. We were talking before. I actually wrote an article about this, about Asuki's rise to the top of the junior division. So it is out there. I might link it in the description. So the first challenger, it had to be Rising Hayato. These two are just linked ever since Hayato stepped into All Japan. The stage was set for Korakuen Hall on the 2nd of October. You had baby Yuma Anzai and Rei Inoue at ringside. They were so cute, still in their like rookie stage. Yuma Oyagi was in his brother's corner, and the loudest man in the world, Kento Miyahara, was on commentary. One thing that was really special about this match was it was the main event, and it has been nearly 10 years since the junior title last main evented Corican Hall. So this meant they had like this massive opportunity, and this just to show everybody, just like they deserve this main event. They deserve every main event that they get because they are just so good. And like all eyes were on them and they deserved it. On to the match. Watching it back, it was funny because I really, really do like this match, but you just know this is such a small footnote in what's going to be a long and extremely entertaining generational rivalry. Like even like 3 years on from this match, they've had so many more matches and you can just see them grow. And in this match, like Asuki's kind of the same. Like he has like little bits here and there that remind me of Yuma Aoyagi, his brother, you know, but Hayato has changed so much and he's grown so much into his character. Like it was still new in his like e-boy, you know, visual K phase. And I don't want to say phase, but like I can't think of another word right now. You know, so he still had a lot to grow in. Asuki kind of a little bit the same. So it was really, really nice to see Hayato like back in this era when he just started like his new chapter in his career. Watching these two young wrestlers put on a show while two future Triple Crown champions at ringside and Kento was losing his mind on commentary was like a wonderful watch. And seeing it live in the moment, you just knew these two are it. Like this is the future of the division. And just like I could not be more proud of them because they went out there and they're just like, yes, this is us. Like, unfortunately, it was a clap only crowd, so we didn't really get, you know, people cheering and going crazy. But like it's gonna happen again. And we're gonna get that crazy crowd. We're gonna get Kento on commentary again, losing his mind. Yuma is always gonna be there in his brother's corner. You know, we got like new rookies now on the outside. Yuma Anzai has obviously moved on. Rei Inoue is almost there, fingers crossed, hopefully. But just like seeing the start of their rivalry in the champion scene is just so special. And just please, please, please watch this if you haven't, especially for Kento, just absolutely going nuts. Like I thought he was going to jump out of his chair when Hayato did a Swanton bomb to the outside. It's just, I might clip it and put it on socials because it made me laugh so much. But this was just such a special match to watch in this whole, you know, the whole junior division scene because this is what it needed. It needed this kick to get back to where it deserved.
Really. Oh, I love that. And I feel like almost like this is like suggesting pre-reading for going into this tournament because it is so important that youth part of this. And I think we've got a really interesting lineup. And the match I'm gonna talk about is not so much about youth. I mean, God, I don't want to say these guys are old because that would say things about me. but it is a really different I suppose kind of match and mix. And I think the youth part's going to be super important in the tournament. So like kind of having that as a starting point, especially because so much has happened for both of them since as well. And the thing I really love about both guys is how they've made themselves. You know, like you can see that if you go back and look at this match and see who they are now, like they've really just grown and grown and grown into it. And when we talk about like junior aces, I feel like that is what they need to be. Like they need to become more and more themselves, but also like more and more the promotion and the face. And I feel like both of them have done that. So it's going to be really interesting when they, if we see that again. So I'm going to talk about a match that has had a lot of love on this podcast already. So I'm not going to try and go over, I think, some of the things we've already said about it, which is just that this has been an incredible match of this year. Because I'm going to talk about Musashi and Seki's title match from the Ota Ward and the Champion Carnival Final. It was a really emotional match for me because actually it was Seki Musashi who really brought me back to watching All Japan very consistently. They are both guys that from other promotions I've cared a lot about, but who I felt like maybe just hadn't been able to take that step up, or at the point that they had really taken the step up to being like a face of a promotion or being like a leading position, something had happened that made it difficult for them to kind of pull through on that. And, you know, Seki for a time, just even before he joined All Japan, was kind of looking like he was stepping away from wrestling. Musashi, it seemed like he was always going to be at Michinoku Pro, and kind of his big leap into All Japan and taking that kind of decision to move to Tokyo, I think was a really big deal for him. So from the start that I saw them in All Japan, one of the huge things that for me really connected with their place in All Japan was them finding a home. Like I genuinely felt like they were starting to do that building, to build themselves within a particular promotion. And, you know, despite the fact that I think, you know, Seki, I think it's always going to be a freelancer. I think he enjoys that kind of opportunity to move around, but he does have that real connection with All Japan. You know, he was a trainee there for, you know, a 3-month period, but I think an important 3-month period in his career because it was his connection with Muto, who has kind of, it's essentially a lifelong friend to him now. And so them building that home partly through each other, ultimately, because they became tag partners. I think we got to see a huge amount more of their personalities than we've necessarily seen in other promotions. We got to see them be silly. We got to see them be really stupid, to have stupid arguments, to fall out. And I knew from that point, like some point these guys are going to have to face each other, because that's what tag partners do. Right. And so this match itself, it has been talked about in other places, just the emotional intensity of this, of two tag partners, of two people who are incredibly close facing each other, of that kind of, they'd always approached it with the, you know, we're still going to be friends afterwards. We're going to be better afterwards, actually, after facing each other, because we're going to understand each other better. But not holding anything back. So immediately, you know, like, shaking hands, but also punching each other in the face, because that's, again, what tag partners do. And there were many moments in this match, I think, where they were showing part of themselves and their story. I mean, Seki hit, like, pretty much every finisher and every kind of big move that he has. Musashi didn't, which is kind of interesting to me. But I think what we really saw in this match from both guys is something we hadn't in the year that they'd been in All Japan. I think we saw that next level that both of them can deliver. And they showed that with each other. And I guess I feel like this is a really interesting match to see of them going into this tournament, because it is also about going, okay, these guys are now at this level. This is what they can do, and they are both in their own ways, you know, Musashi as a signed wrestler, Seki as a champion, very much also part of what All Japan is right now. And I think therefore, like, they're going to be incredibly strong in this tournament, hopefully. But I also think, like, the ability to create those moments for juniors really exists in All Japan, and it always has, and it always has been a mix of you know, All Japan wrestlers and outsiders. And that has actually been quite important, I think, in creating that kind of the junior division that we have now. And so despite not being maybe, you know, All Japan born, I do think that they are going to play a really important role in setting up what the junior division is like for the future.
Yeah, 100%. I love that we didn't talk about what matches we were picking. Like, I knew you want to talk about Musashi versus Seki because we talked about it before, like online, like because I knew you love it. And the thing is, it kind of worked out perfectly because I chose the match that I feel kicked off the new resurgence of the junior division. And you picked one like that's kind of, you know, where we are now, and just seeing like it grow 3 years is just, it's just amazing, you know, from what we had before, and just to see now how the juniors have grown and just work so well together. And then you get like these older guys. I don't want to say they're old, but like compared to the junior division we had before, you got Seki, Musashi and Doi, and they just slot in so well and everything just works so well. It's just like, I don't know. It's just like, how do these people come in? And it's just perfect. Like, and I forgot Fumino Abe, but of course him, he just works well anywhere he goes. And I just love the junior division so much because I feel a way for the juniors like different than I do the heavyweights. I just want to see junior wrestling. I just want to see them go for it because it's been ignored for so long and they are so, so good and they can't be ignored anymore.
Yes. And I think people really sleep on this for All Japan. I think people don't think about the junior division here. And actually it's been important, like not just now, but historically. And I think people need to pay attention. I think there is, you know, it's a problem we have with when there's comedy as well. Like people have a very one-dimensional view of what All Japan is. And they therefore are missing out on some of the most exciting wrestling that is there. And part of that is the junior division.
It's funny because in other promotions I've watched, I've seen the junior division and been like, yeah, just go back to the heavyweights. But in All Japan, I'm just like, no, give me Hayato, give me Asuka, give me Dan. Like, I want to see these guys wrestle. I want to see them in the main event again.
Yes. And what they do a really good thing in terms of how they mix up the juniors with the heavies. Like, you know, there's not a point. You're not just waiting for, like, the junior part of the year. Although we definitely were waiting for the junior part of the year in this case. but they have opportunities throughout. And I think actually this is a really good time for them to like show themselves actually really one of the strongest junior divisions out there. At the same time as other promotions are also kind of leveling up their junior positions. So I think this is really strong and could be really, really exciting.
Yeah, one thing we talk about on the podcast a bit is how they've handled the All Asia tag team titles, where they've had a heavyweight and a junior weight. And what they've been doing in recent matches is letting the junior weight take control and have the majority of the match and have the ending of the match, which matters because you could easily have them tag out and have the heavyweights come in. But it's like, no, the junior is going to finish this one off. So, like, they are getting the spotlight. I just hope they continue to get the spotlight.
Yeah.
So those are two matches. If you can watch it, please watch it. They are on AJPW.TV. Maybe they're on other services. I don't know. I haven't checked. But I think they're important in, you know, the whole junior division to watch. So for the junior tournament, we got participant and dates now. Two blocks. Block A, we got Ryzen Hayato, Rei Inoue, Hikaru Sato, Sega Tajibana, and Seki Yoshioka. And in Block B, we got Musashi, Dan Tamura, Asuka Oyagi, Fumino Abe, and Noriki Doi. And I really like these blocks. There's a lot of exciting matchups. And out of all these people, only two of them haven't held the junior title. So it's Rei Inoue from Block A and Fumino Abe in Block B, but he's held like so many titles. Like.
I think we can count him as being in a good position.
Oh, I forgot. I always forget about Tachibana. Also Tachibana, but he's held the Goro Kings title.
Oh, no. Sorry, Sega.
We love him. But, yeah, just to see, like, the mix of all these people, and it's just like how little people haven't held the title in this tournament. It's just crazy because, yeah, this is like a
The card.
really, really stacked tournament, and it's going to be like fierce.
Absolutely. I love how they've done lots of very intelligent like splitting between the two blocks. So we're not getting some matchups we might want to have in this tournament. We're gonna have to wait until the end. But I think that makes it really exciting. I wanted to swap out Doi from his block for Inoue, just because I love Inoue and Musashi's kind of clashes together, and I'm afraid I don't think they are going to win their respective blocks, and I'm not going to get to see that this summer. But hopefully in their future, I'm sure from what I've seen in the past, people can see the potential of that.
Yes. We're going to go over the dates and the schedule. So each day we're going to give like, a pick for our favorite, like do watch this. We haven't discussed this beforehand. So we may have the same matches, we may have different matches, who knows? The tournament starts on the 17th of July. We have Ryzen Hayato versus Seki Yoshioka, Rie Inoue versus Kara Sato, Dan Tamura versus Fuminori Abe, and Asuki Oyagi versus Naruki Doi. My pick is Inoue versus Sato. I said like a couple years ago, this matchup is like Kick Boy versus Kick Man. So,
Sorry, I love that.
yes, those two for me.
Absolutely. I really hope that Inoue does get a strong start to this. So I think that's a really, really good pick. My pick for this one would be Rising Hayato versus Seki, partly because of how important I think it is for both guys. Seki's basically said that he's going to go undefeated in the block, and Musashi's going to go undefeated in the block, and just putting loads of pressure on the entire thing. So for him, that's the kind of, first match. As a champion, you have to stand up to what you said. But Fajardo is, he's coming off a breakup. He needs to show that what he said about that he's going to go concentrate on the junior division, and he doesn't mind that's true, that he's gonna kind of come back to that and be prepared to lead that, and that means a win. I think not a win here is going to be a real knock to him. So though I'm very clearly a huge Seiki fan, I will be pulling for Rising Hayato in that one.
We move on to the 20th of July. We have Ryzen Hayato versus Rie Inoue, Seki Yoshioka versus Saigo Tachibana, Dan Tamura versus Naruki Doi, and Musashi versus Asuki Aoyagi. I am picking Musashi versus Asuki. I thought we were actually going to get this match in like a junior championship match since Asuki came back. I was like, yeah, he's going straight to the top. He's going for that belt straight away, but he didn't. So this is a match I've actually wanted to see, and I finally get it.
I feel like we've been waiting on this one. I'm actually really glad that he didn't go straight there. I think that would have kind of upset the kind of path of things, and that would have been a huge amount of pressure for him. So I'm glad. But yeah, I've been waiting for this one as well. Like, there's been tension between these two, kind of even when they've been on the same side. So I'm ready for this one to fully explode. I think it's gonna be great.
On the 21st of July, we got Ryzen Hayato versus Kara Sato, Rie Inoue versus Saigo Tachibana, Naruki Doi versus Fuminori Abe, and Musashi versus Dan Tamura. I'm gonna go with Rie Inoue versus Saigo Tachibana just because I love Tachibana and I think he can really piss off Inoue.
Yeah, I had this mood like totally for similar reasons. Like, I do think their personality.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
These are going to be incredible. I think, this is, I think, pretty unlikely to be the main event, but it's definitely going to be the one that I'm like, I really want to see what you guys can do together. And I think they could do something pretty incredible, actually.
Yeah. And Sega Tachibana can actually show Rei Inoue what a good taunt looks like. Because Rei Inoue's taunt sucks.
Yeah, this is his major development for the year. Like, come on, by the end of the year, this is your goal.
On the 24th of July, we have Kara Saito versus Sega Tachibana, Rei Inoue versus Seki Yoshioka, Musashi versus Naruki Doi, and Asuka Yagi versus Fumonori Abe. And I am picking Asuka versus Abe because these two, I think they mesh really, really well. And they can just go for it. And Abe can just school Asuka, who's supposed to be the junior champion, but I think can be knocked down a peg with just how good Fumonori Abe is.
This is a tough day for me because I'm like, actually, I'm really interested in all of these ones. I would probably go Inoue versus Seki. Like, I think the kind of kick boy features, obviously there. I do love a kick boy, but also I just there's something really interesting about, sort of talking about like taunting and like that arrogance. I think Seki has quite a lot of arrogance in how he approaches stuff that actually is probably about on the kind of level that Inoue could be kind of pitching at. And I think that will be quite interesting for both of them. I also have seen quite a few Japanese fans like suggesting that Inoue might win his block. And that would be amazing. I feel like we've been waiting a while. Kind of since that incredible, like tag team match that he was in, where like everybody was cheering for him, and it feels like maybe not. I wouldn't say stagnating because he's been doing lots of stuff and he's still interesting, but there's a journey there that needs to like actually kick off. And I feel like I would love for this to be that point for him.
I just want Rei Inoue to get that one big win, and I hope it's against Seki. He wins against this match.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does. I just hope this really, yeah, like you said, like kicks off him. On the 26th of July, we have Ryzen Hayato versus Sega Tachibana, Seki Yoshioka versus Kara Sato, Dan Tamura versus Asuka Yagi, and Musashi versus Fumonori Abe. I just want to shout out Yoshioka and Hikaru Sato. I'm excited for that match, but I'm picking Dan Tamura versus Asuka Yagi. Like these two literally started together. Like they debuted on the same day. They were tag team partners. They've just had like such this long, not as good as a rivalry as Asuka versus Hayato, but it's been there. And I'm just excited to see like just how these two developed over the years and like where they are now.
Definitely. My pick is Yoshioka and Hikaru Sato. Seki was in the 2019 Junior Battle of Glory, and him and Sato went to a 20-minute draw. And I love this match. I just love it so much. Please do go back and watch it as well. That would kind of be on my list of things to watch. It's very much my kind of match. There is kicking, there is pulling of limbs, there is desperation. And it's watching that because I've watched it again recently. Seki has developed since then, and I'm just really curious. They don't face each other that much, but also 20-minute draw. This is a 30-minute match, and I am really curious what happens in minute 21.
The last time they did the Junior Battle of Glory, it was 10-minute time limit. And some of these matches went really, really close to the 10 minutes. I don't know, 10 minutes is so different from a 30-minute match, but I would like if these matches get really, really close. 'Cause you know how you hear the ring announcer like start screaming when there's like 2 minutes left and 1 minute left and 30 seconds? I want to hear that because it's been a long time since we've heard that.
Definitely. I also think, there's some real like Kenton commentary potential for this tournament. We could get a lot of screaming going on. And not just Kento, I feel like a lot of the heavyweights could really contribute some good screaming
Well,
here.
definitely Honda. He's like on Kento's level. It really is.
Oh my God. Oh.
And on
Yeah,
the
he doesn't
3rd of
quite look.
August, the finals, we have the A block winner versus B block winner. Now, I'm going to ask you, who do you want to be in the finals, but who do you think will be in the finals as well?
Oh, okay, this is really hard.
It's like, what
You
does your
say my
head choose,
obvious
but what does your
answer.
heart choose?
To be honest, like, okay, so my heart was very much, I think it should be Atsuki and Seki. I think that they should do that and they should run it twice, effectively, because obviously the winner will challenge. I think Atsuki should win. I think he needs to do that. I think he's on a point where he does need that kind of rise up. And yeah, so that's generally, you might expect my heart to say like gotta have Mu Chen Se Chen again, but actually, I think they need to take a little bit of time over that. I actually think this tournament, like, it's stressing me out how much tension it could cause between them. Like, if one of them loses, the other's gonna get mad. So I think play that drama out over here, and the match that I would like to see, I think, is those two. I having seen quite a few Japanese fans pulling for Inoue, I'm like, oh, like maybe I would actually really like that. But yeah, my choice, I think I should potentially on both counts. I suspect, however, that it will be Atsuki and Hayato.
Yes.
That is, it feels a little obvious, but I don't really have a problem with the obviousness of it because the story is so good.
Yeah. I think my head's definitely saying like Kaito versus Asuki. If you want two juniors who mesh wonderfully well and who know each other inside and out and who can put on a good match like at a big stage, it's these two. But my heart is saying, like, anyway, I just want so much more for this little guy. And like block B, I'm like, oh, who would I pick? Like, who would my heart pick? Then I thought, like, Asuka Yagi, like, knock over the junior champion. Oh, sorry, not junior champion, junior ace. He's been champion. He is actually a champion. He's always champions. So
And he's a junior, it
my
works.
mistake did make sense. Yeah, but I think how they split the blocks, like you said, block A having Ryzen Hayato and block B having Asuki, is like, okay, we know your game, War Japan. We know what you're doing.
And that's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with obvious, given that like how much they put into this story and how much it genuinely means. My version of this, if we had Seki and Atsuki, would be Seki winning the actual title match and then Hayao challenging Seki, because I basically want this entire thing to play out but Seki to still be involved. Because I think that, I mean, they are the story. They are, Atsuki is the junior ace. I mean, really, and things have changed in the time he was away. And I think there's so much we can do with that.
I think he needs this big moment to like reclaim, yeah, I'm the junior ace. I might have been gone for however many months, like, but I'm back now. And I'm going to take my spot at the top. So if this is Asuki, and if I don't, if we just get him a little bit more meaner, like kind of stray away from his brother and how he acts, like look what Ren's doing and how he's getting like a little bit more meaner every now and then. We just need Asuki, if he actually reaches the finals, I'm talking like he is going to be in the finals, but if he reaches the finals, I would like him to just be that little bit more meaner and hit that little bit more harder to say yes. This is where I belong because I am the junior ace and all you guys underneath me.
Actually, like, his block gives him so much potential for doing that. I mean, like, Doi is a guy you want to slap. Musashi, they've already had this kind of tension. Like, I feel like he's gonna, I mean, Abe is gonna annoy the hell out of him as well. Like, I feel like he could actually build that meaner persona just through this. So, yeah, I think that could be pretty powerful.
And if Seki doesn't get to the finals, he has to be on commentary. for the junior tournament final. He has to be there.
Yeah.
So I am actually extremely happy the juniors have tournament again. It's been 2 years since I had it. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, because they run the Junior Battle of Glory, so the single tournament alongside Tag League for the last, well, not the last 2 years, so like 4 years ago, like the last, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
when they did do it, the juniors blew the heavyweights out the water. Tag League wasn't good at all, but Junior Battle of Glory was fantastic. So I'm expecting the same here. Like, of course, it's not just going to be the tournament. There's going to be like heavyweight wrestling throughout. On the 21st is even a Triple Crown title match. So Jun Saito versus Ryuki Honda. So of course, like that's going to be like the main event, of course. But the focus actually is the Junior tournament. I don't care about anything else. I'm going to watch like the Triple Crown title match and stuff, you know, hoping my boy Honda wins. But I just want to see junior wrestling. I just want to see these guys go all at it. I'm happy they don't have to have a 10-minute time limit, because it's just like, why give them 10 minutes and give the heavyweights 30 minutes? You know, it should be the other way around. I'm just so happy that they actually did it, and I hope it's a yearly thing and they don't stop it just randomly every now and then.
Absolutely. And I think it's a smart move. Like, I think we've noticed in recent kind of big shows, like the juniors have kind of stolen the show at points. And actually, if you give them the same status, then it doesn't make your other guys look weaker. And I think genuinely that's a risk. I think they're showing them up. And part of me loves that. But also, like, if you give these divisions parity, then you are also giving your aces parity, and you're giving so much more power to your company that I think is attracting people through these amazing personalities. So yeah, they just financially, guys, terrible idea. Keep it like this.
Yeah.
Do not start mixing things up again.
And like you said, like the juniors have been stealing the show. The best match this whole year, doesn't matter heavyweights, junior weights, tag team, is Musashi versus Seki Yoshioka. In my heart of hearts, like that's what I believe. And I truly believe at the end of the year, it's going to be the same. Like I just did the mid-year awards, and my guest Milo and I both picked Seki Yoshioka, and I don't think that's going to change at all. And the fact of the matter is, I'm sad that it's not as talked about as like a junior match in Noah or a junior match in New Japan. So like I'm glad to talk about it here. I'm glad to talk about it in the last episode, and even the episode before that I did with Simone for the Chimpy Carnival wrap up. We talked about it there, and I will talk about it in every single episode until more people watch it, because they deserve to watch it.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
am. I wrote some stuff about it. Like I wrote an article about it. But like, I'm shocked how little I've seen people talking about this match. And I do think a very kind of a relatively average heavyweight match in All Japan has gotten a lot more attention because it fits what people are expecting. And I think that's a huge shame, because they're missing out on something. I don't think you need to know anything about these guys actually going into this match. I think they are the perfect example of storytelling contained within a match. And yes, there's loads of layers and other stuff you can add to it. But they you could have walked in that building knowing nothing about them and still have been like, oh shit. And that's incredibly powerful for any company to have. And it's such a shame that I think not everybody is noticing that. So everybody tell your friends. Make them watch this match. I have made people watch this match, and you need to do the same.
It's funny because like the matches we picked, like you just said, Musashi versus Seki Yoshioka, you don't need backstory for it. But for my pick, Asuki Oyagi versus Ryzen Haito, I had a lot of backstory for it. Because I think the backstory was important. But then again, like just walking into a match, seeing no backstory and just being like, yeah, these two guys just want to beat the hell out of each other and they just go counter for counter. It's just beautiful.
And I also think, I think you could genuinely like watch so many Rising Hayato or Atsuki matches, and I think people will be like, I'm now a fan of that guy. Like, because they have that about them. Like, you don't necessarily need to know the huge history behind them as kind of the conflict. You should be like, wow, these guys are incredible.
It's funny because I think back like in like 2018, 2019, it was Jake Lee for these people. Like Jake Lee for you, definitely Jake Lee for me. And a lot of other people like got into All Japan because of that. They thought, you know, he was going to dethrone Kento. He didn't. It was Tuama. But, you know, we all had hope. And I think now it's two people who's getting all people into All Japan. It is 100% Yuma Anzai and 100% Ryzen Hayato. And I can definitely see the appeal. If I was an All Japan fan and I saw these two, I was just like, who are these guys? I need to know more.
Definitely.
That's what I was like with Kento, because I first saw him in 2019 Chimney Carnival. Everyone was posting clips and GIFs and videos of him online. I'm just like, who is this guy? I have to know more. Then I found out his rival with Jake Lee. I started looking up Jake Lee. I started watching in October 2019, and I've been hooked ever since. Jake Lee has left, unfortunately, but then you got like Yuma Anzai kind of rising in his place, and he's, you know, taken over Jake Lee's position of getting people into the company.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's actually, you know, that's a really interesting parallel because I think I started watching Jake because there's a certain like element. The thing that got me into Jake was Jake and Koji, like as a team. And obviously Naoya kind of in there, but it was the kind of like pretty arrogance thing. Like, it's very appealing. because it tells like such a story, like you don't need to know anybody. You can go and like, that guy thinks he's hot. Let's see what he's got.
Don't know how we moved back to the heavyweights, but I'm glad we did talk about it a bit.
Everybody is important. Like, this is obviously even our juniors. Everybody is important, but so glad these guys are gonna get to shine, right?
I think for me, it really is special because, you know, I've seen Ryzen Hayato, Rei Inoue, Dan Tamura, Asuka Yagi, literally like start from the beginning. So to see them grow where they are now, to have them all, except for Inoue, be champions and see them all win the belt and like literally be in the building when Dan won the belt, which for me was like a top 10 experience. It's just really, really special. And I hope people out there have the same feeling that I do, seeing people start literally from rookie stage, from the shaved head to, you know, Asuka's pink hair now. You know, it's just a really special experience, and I hope people have that experience too. No, so I just want to say, like, if you have the opportunity, please watch it. Please see what this journey is made of. You'll still see the heavyweights. You'll still see like Kento, and I was gonna say Yuma. Like, you won't see him. He's out for a while. You'll see the other Yuma Aoyagi, which he did say on Twitter he will be the handsome Yuma now. He'll carry that burden just for us.
I am looking forward to seeing what he makes of that.
It was funny. I was discussing it with Rachel. So if Yuma Anzai is a handsome Yuma, like what does that make Yuma Aoyagi? The handsome but maybe a little less handsome Yuma.
Not quite as handsome, Yuma. Oh. But he's, I mean, you've covered this before. He's the real Yuma.
He is. Yuma Anzai is the imposter. But no. So, you know, if you do start watching from this tournament, you'll still see like a triple crown match. You'll still see the heavyweights, but like the junior weights, this is their spotlight. This is their moment. This is it for them. I'm very much looking forward to it. Well, we've reached the end of another bonus episode, a very, very special episode. I want to thank everyone for listening and supporting Jumping Knee Pod. You can find me at Sister Jessie on Twitter and Blue Sky, and also RawRose72 on Twitter. And Jumping Knee Pod is also on Instagram. So, Ruth, where can people find you?
Yeah, I am on Twitter and Blue Sky and Instagram, all at Ruth is an otter, because I kind of am. So please do find me there. I talk about lots of different promotions, but I definitely talk about juniors a lot. So please do I'd love to have conversations about this stuff. If you want to scream about Seki or Musashi or any of the juniors, I'm well up for that.
You're going to tell people about 60 Minute Draw.
I guess I do need to do that. Sorry. Okay, so I'm also editor of a site called 60 Minute Draw, 60minutedraw.com. So again, you can find that on Blue Sky and Twitter as well. But please do check it out. We have some articles about All Japan on there. We have articles about loads of different promotions, but the focus is really on the storytelling. Because I think that's it's a fascinating part of wrestling that doesn't necessarily get covered in other places. So please do check that out. But also, if you are interested in telling a story, then please do also get in touch. I would love to hear. We've got some very exciting things coming up that I'm not going to tell you about because it puts pressure on people who are writing them. But I am very excited about what I have seen so far.
Now, I've read a couple of articles for 6 Minute Drill, and the process has been so smooth and just so much fun because Ruth just loves wrestling. And you're no, honestly, like the happiness you radiate from just like your notes about what I've written just makes me smile so much because I'm just like, okay, yeah, this is great. Like, I don't know, I can't explain it. Just if you have an idea, just please message Ruth. Like, we just need more writers out there writing about why they love wrestling because, like I said, there is a lot of negativity in wrestling. We just need more positive. And if you want more positive, like 6 Minute Draw is a place to go.
Oh, I'm so glad. I like that means genuinely the world to me because I think, yeah, it's that kind of love, and I feel that in, I felt that in the things you wrote. I feel that in the things that people write for me, and it gives me so much joy. Like I genuinely feel like this is such a privileged position because I get to read everything before anybody else. And I think that's probably why the entire thing exists because I get to then read and hear about people's love for something. And hear about them wanting to share that with the world. And that is an incredibly powerful thing. It's kind of what I think wrestling is in itself, is like sharing like love and hope and human emotions with other people. So yeah, I want other people to do that. And like if you are not used to writing, if English is not your first language, all those kind of things, like genuinely, I am really supportive of people wanting just to communicate, and hopefully I can help people to do that and to tell a story that they're excited about.
100%, definitely. But thank you so much, Ruth, for coming on. This was like a literally a last minute podcast. An idea popped into my head. I'm like, I have to get Ruth on for this. So definitely. So thank you for being here.
Just been dying to talk to you about the juniors
Yes.
and about wrestling and All Japan. So this has been an absolute treat. Especially like just Jumping in Ipod is over a year old and
Yeah.
it's so cool and it is I love listening because of that love and yeah, it really means a lot to me to be on here. So thank you.
Of course, of course. Once again, thank you all for your support. I have been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Count Out Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.